Amen. Amen.
I'll say it again.
Amen. I'm with you, Harry. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for your people, Lord. But more than anything, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We love you. We trust you. And we thank you that you're going to speak to us tonight. You're going to touch our hearts, Lord. You're going to encourage us. You're going to build us up, edify us, comfort us. And the building up it will be in love, Lord. We thank you for that. And we just give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many are walking in peace tonight? You got peace in your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to tattle on myself a little bit. I heard some things today that kind of, I just got done preaching the message, and just to show you that we're not exempt from challenges, I got a little upset this morning about things that, you know, just frustrated me, and I've got no control over them. So I caught myself, and I said, you know, Bill, that was foolish. I wasn't angry, but it just frustrated, you know what I mean? I do not understand, I will never understand, unrighteousness and injustice and the foolish thinking of some people. I know where it comes from, but left to my devices and my flesh, I would be upset and ready to wring somebody's neck every time I woke up in the morning. So I don't go there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Free and safe. Are you with me? Free and safe. You know, I really just want to talk to you. I don't want to preach at you tonight. You call it teach, whatever you want to talk. I just want to talk to you tonight. You know, the challenges and experience that we go through in our lives, our outlook at them should just be their, what they are is training for our future and our calling. That's all they are. It's simple. It's not rocket science. It's not a brain surgery dynamic. It's very simple. Everything about the Word and everything about God is simple. It says, unless we come as a child, we will not receive the things of God. A child just simply listens, obeys, and accepts what he's told. Amen? And unfortunately, we get to the point where we think we're smarter than God. We're more educated than God. Now, we don't say that out loud, but that's the way we act. How many know what I'm talking about? You know? And it's pretty crazy. One of the things the Bible does, you know, there's many promises in the Bible. If you want to turn to Psalm 34 verses 19 through 22, we'll just read that real quick. But one of the things the Word promises is that we're going to suffer afflictions and tribulation. Well, we cannot suffer through them, but unless we choose to. But the point is, they're going to come. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say to you tonight. So I just want to look at that. You know, things that happen in our lives, both things that we cause of our own doing that happen to us, and things that the enemy tries to bring, or circumstances that are designed, or basically the enemy comes on scene. You know, the enemy's faithful just like God. The enemy wants to come on scene, and he wants to cause calamity. He wants to get you focused in a different direction. He wants to get you upset. He wants to get you uptight, and he wants you to just grumble and stuff. Because then what's happened is you've taken your focus off of God and you put it on the circumstance or the situation, and you're right where he wants you to be. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verses 19 through 22, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And that word afflictions, basically, it's multifaceted. It's unpleasant, displeasing, unhappy, hurtful, unkind, distressful. It denotes adversities and wrongs. So many are the afflictions, many are the wrongs, the distresses, unpleasantries, and unhappiness, and hurtful things that happen to us, unkind things. But the Scripture says, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Let me read that. I don't think I did that right on my notes here. Many other afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Doesn't make any difference what happens or what comes along or what we see through the day or what circumstance it is. Now, we all have things that we absolutely, you know, there's just buttons that push in us when we see things that are unjust or unrighteous or that we just have an affinity to. It grates against our flesh. It's not necessarily spiritual. It may be righteous, but it's not necessarily spiritual. Meaning if you're like me, you know, things are black and white, there's right and there's wrong, and there's really very little in between. And once again, you know, we get all bent out of shape and stuff, and that's right away we're right where the enemy wants us. And we don't need to do that. Verse 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked. There's a reward for wickedness. These people are doing wrong. It's going to slay them. If they don't turn their hearts to God, God's got it under control. And this is a promise. He says, we're going to have problems, or problems are going to come. We're not going to have them. They're going to come. And we're going to have the ability either to walk in the peace of God, speak to those situations, walk in the Word, or we're going to succumb to them. Amen? It's that simple. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Verse 22 says, evil will shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness shall be condemned. If you remember back in the Scripture, it talks about what in verse John 3, 17, 18, and 19, that this is the condemnation that comes into the world. It's not God who condemns or Jesus who condemns, but the condemnation that comes in the world is those who don't do the will of God, or when they're led away of their own lusts and enticed. Verse 22 says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servant. That's not something he's just saying. That's a promise. He redeems the souls of his servant. And none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So that means we're exonerated from any condemnation unless we allow it to come or we accept it. We step into condemnation. Once again, God never points out our faults. He points us in the right direction. He says, this is the way, walk in it. Amen?
It's very interesting that verse 21, evil will slay the wicked. Evil will slay the wicked.
Yep. Well, that and left to their own devices, not governed by God.
Their own bad choices and stuff like that are going to end up killing them in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
When we try to get somebody saved, we're trying to get them back on the right path because they're headed for destruction.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, we talked about this a little bit last night, but every one of us here knows we have a free choice. God doesn't stand up there with puppet strings and just, you know, we do what he says. One of the things that the church has not learned, they use this word sovereign, and I'm telling you, they don't even understand sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in the respect that there are some things in his word that will not change, cannot change, because he said mandated, that's the way it's going to be. Unfortunately, what he's not sovereign over is you and I, unless we say, I'm yours and I'm going to serve you. Then we have given him sovereignty over us. But he does not usurp that from us. That's why we have the ability by our actions and our words and what we believe to tie the hands of God. Handcuff him, if you will. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And that word tribulation means oppression or distress. Again, almost exactly like afflictions. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's taken things into control. He's taken his authority. And he has overcome. And that word overcome means Christ is victorious over all his foes. That's what it says in the Strong's. So what does that mean? You and I are part of the body of Christ. So that means because it's a done deal, we now walk in that victory, which makes us what? More than conquerors. Amen? I like that. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Yes, after Romans 4. Bill, you're exactly right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Romans 5, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, remember, whenever we see a therefore, we see what it's there for. Having been justified by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, yours and my faith, brothers and sisters, yours and my faith is what justifies us or condemns us or puts us in a balanced situation. Your faith will justify you, or the lack of faith will put you in an unstable place. We have peace with God, our Lord God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith. We have access by faith. And say with me, I have access by faith into his grace. So you can't walk in His grace unless you understand that He's given it and you accept it, right? I can have something that I want to give you, $100, $50, $500, a new car, but until you accept it, you can't. That doesn't do any good for you, right? Or me. It's there, but you got to accept it. So we know we have access now by faith and into His grace, unmerited favor. We didn't earn it, but He's given it freely. In which we stand, not stumble, not fall, but we stand and what? Rejoice in the hope of glory, in the hope of the glory of God. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we rejoice, we need to just joy in the Lord. Just absolutely just have a party in God. Remember who He is. Remember what He's done. Remember that you're more than a conqueror. You're a victor, not a victim. He's given you all authority. We're going to look at some things here that will really, really bring that home here in a few moments. Moving right along. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What? We glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
I don't know if I've ever enjoyed suffering.
No, it's not joyful, but the point is, if we understand that we have dominion, then we can speak to those situations, and those situations must go. Why? Because God, through Jesus, has overcome the world. And not only that, He's promised us, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions that come, but for the righteous, that means the people who are in right standing with God, which is you and I, you and me understand it, you and I are righteous because Jesus is the one who dwells in us. We've made our minds up, we're going to serve Him. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. And then He says in John 16:33, I've spoken these things to you, that in me you may have peace. The peace only comes in Him. Because in the world, if you're part of the world, you're going to have tribulations or oppression and distress. But be of good cheer. If you're in me, I have overcome the world. I've become victorious over all my foes. Amen? And if we remember that the devil's not against us, he's against God's Word, then we understand that it's not a personal attack. It's something that's trying to get our focus off of God so that God loses, and God's not going to lose.
What is the definition of his sufferings?
Sufferings? I can't tell you that, Harry. I can't tell you that right offhand. I'd have to look it up.
Lord just showed me something that, what he showed me, what he's done with me,
uh-huh,
and the times that I have had to have him give me direct orders.
Right.
Verbal. And I think suffering, I don't think the word sufferings is quite right. I think it's...
I'll have to look it up, unless Patrick's got it back there. Yeah, the New King James only says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character. What's that?
That tribulation might sound a little closer, but it's still trials or... Yeah.
I think it's all relevant. It says what?
Troubles.
Yeah, I think it's all relevant.
Tribulation means pressure, base of to crowd, something that's crowding.
Crowding, pushing you. Pushing you. Yeah. Yeah. Pushing. Okay. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 says, in perseverance, character, and character, hope.
And mine uses endurance.
Okay. That's a good word. That's a wise choice. Verse 5 says, now, and I like that. I think what you said, Robin, is good too. Now, hope does not disappoint. In verse 4, we just read, and character brings hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed or been poured out in our hearts. Some of your Bibles may say shed abroad, but the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay? And then verse 6, for when we were yet still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, which was you and I. So that means that He came when we didn't have strength. So with what He's done, and since He's overcome His foes, we now have strength. We have abilities that we didn't have as sinners or ungodly people or people who were not children of God at that time. Creation, yes. Family, no. Not until we said, Jesus, I believe what you did for me. I accept it. And now I'm going to walk with you. Amen. Come into my life. Praise the Lord. We're justified by that faith. Now turn with me, if you will, just over to chapter 8. And we'll read verses 35 through 39. And basically, we all know that. This is verses we've known. We probably read just about almost every other service, I think. But it's important. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who or what? Use the word what if you want to. Shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? When we go through tribulation, does that mean God's love has been taken away from us? No. That's when God's love abounds and He comes to us and He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Walk this way and, you know, look to me and I will give you the answer and I will take you out of it. Exercise the dominion I've given you because I've done the work. It's done. It's a done work. It's finished. We'll see that even more here in some statements that I have further on here. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now what does that mean? For His sake we're killed all the day long. It goes back to what we just read in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions. There are attacks and things that come every day. And if it weren't for Him, we would be killed. So what He's really saying there is not we're not actually killed if we're in Him. We keep our focus right, but what happens? These attacks are going to come. Okay? We're killed. The ability for the enemy to come and kill us or kill our faith momentarily is there every day. Verse 37 says, Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded. We need to be persuaded. We need to make up our mind once and for all. It's the truth, and it's where we're at. That neither death, that's not necessarily talking about spiritual death, although that could be it, or physical death, nor life. How many know that when you're not in the presence of God or the attacks come, you know, it feels like you've just died or, you know, death is imminent. That's not the case. Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's telling us that there's nothing ever that's been designed or could be designed, past, present, or future, that can ever come against you that you cannot prevail over if you'll keep your focus on Him and walk in the truth. Remember that these things come, as that's the statement I made in the beginning, our challenges and experiences that we go through in this life are for our future and our calling. They build character in us to do the work of the Lord and to be able to minister to other people in their point of affliction or tribulation. Amen? The trial or attack that comes against them. How many know that for every one of us that's in here, there are some, doesn't make any difference whether you're a day old or whether you're 50 years old in the Lord, there's people that you have the ability to minister, that you have walked through, that you have the ability through your experiences to minister to that person. Amen? Praise the Lord. I like it. Nor height, nor depth, things present, nor things to come. Any of those things, nor height, nor depth, nor any other, now listen carefully, created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means even demonic powers and Satan, since he was created by God. We have dominion. The love of God. The love of God. That love is the same love that was spoken of in Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? We need to continuously remind ourselves and each other what Jesus did on the cross to the devil. It's important that we see it in that light. To the devil, for us. He did it for you and I. He did it in obedience to the Father, but He did it in obedience to the Father's plan to deliver you and I from imminent destruction and death. Separation from God. Amen? To restore us to a right place with Him. Because that's what happened in the garden. It was given away. It was forfeited by disobedience. Amen? If you want to turn, you can, or you don't have to if you're taking notes. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Jesus says, I am He who lives and was dead. and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Now listen to the very next statement. And I have the keys of Hades and death, or hell and the grave. Hell and death. He has the keys. So if he's got the keys, that means he has the ability to lock and unlock things. And he's given us that ability because he says, because we walk in dominion, you have the ability to loose on earth or bind on earth and have it loosed in heaven or bound in heaven. Exactly. The keys. That the authority is one of the keys. Amen? Faith is another key. Are you with me? Matthew 16:19, another familiar scripture. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So not only has he got them in his possession, but now he's returned those keys or that dominion, those abilities back to us to rule and reign in this earth. Keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now you need to understand that this is a two-edged sword. Here's what I mean by that. On the one hand, you can loose somebody into victory and yourself, or you can bind them into bondage and yourself also. You can take care of spiritual entities and principalities by the authority God's given you because the greater one dwells within you, or you can let them slide, in which case you put yourself in bondage and other people too. You got the keys. The keys are right here. Keys like the whole armor of God. Walking by faith and not by sight. Having the determined heart. Amen. Walking in the things we've already spoken of here in these scriptures we've already read tonight. Amen. For your notes, Ephesians 4:8. I think that's probably another really familiar scripture at most, if not all. Ephesians 4:8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Gifts meaning faith, abilities, power, sound thinking, wisdom to know how to walk in faith and use the tools and the weapons, which the Bible says are not in our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Mark 8:34-36. Mark 8:34-36. And when he had called his people to himself with his disciples, he also said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. Now I want to just, expound on that for a moment. What that means is the fact that Jesus went and he bore his cross. Doesn't mean you and I are going to be crucified again, but we are in a state of continual crucifying ourselves and our flesh every day of our life because salvation is new every day. Amen? Salvation is new every day. So it's a process of killing ourselves, making the determination we're going to believe the Word, we're going to walk in the Word, we're going to take that dominion, we're going to take that authority, and we're going to operate in it. And in so doing, we not only keep ourselves free, keep our abilities high in the Lord, but we have the ability to go and set other people free, which we talked about a little bit last night. Good conversation. We had a great time last night at the board meeting. Harry brought that up. Are you with me? For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now Jesus, when he was in the garden, what he said, his flesh was beginning to get a little antsy. That's the way I'll put it. You figure it out for yourself. And he said, Father, if it's possible, he wasn't looking forward physically because he was a man at that point to the death that he was going to suffer. But immediately, because he was obedient to the Father, he said, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. So that means he was in a constant state of surrender, which you and I need to be today, is in a constant state of surrender to the Lord. If we seek to keep our life, we're going to lose it. But if we lose it for his sake, what does the Word say? We're going to find it. Amen? We're going to get it. We're going to get it back. But it's not really us, according to Galatians 2:20. Amen? It's Christ that lives in us. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't know of anybody here who wants to have God be ashamed or who is ashamed of God. I'm going to tattle on Harry just a little bit because he tattled on Marie. About one time when you were someplace and sitting there and God was directing you in the doctor's office, as a matter of fact, directing you to do something. And you got up and did it, and all of a sudden the power of God fell. This individual, as I understand the story, as Harry told it, broke into tears, and you were able to minister to that person. See, God has a gift and a calling for all of us. And the biggest gift and calling that we all walk in is to be able to reach out and touch other lives. Okay? So the gifts and calling are to everybody. Okay? There are some that he calls to a little higher calling for the ministry's work to perfect the saints so they can go out and do the work of the ministry. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, in those things, I reminded him, I'll tell the story again. Sorry, guys, who were there last night. But I when I was running with Weyerhaeuser, driving my truck, and I used to pass by a McDonald's down there on Santa Fe and about Florida. And I watched this little couple come in there every time that sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon. And the reason I stopped there so much is because it was just convenient. There was enough room to get my truck in there, park, have lunch, get back on the road, either going north or south on Santa Fe. And so I'd stop in there. Well, I'd watch this couple for years. I'm going to tell you, it was several years I watched this couple. And they'd come in, and one day he would have just a cup of coffee, and she would maybe have a sandwich or an ice cream cone. And then vice versa. The other day it would be different. I watched them for years. Never thought a thing of it. But the one thing that I did take note of is I watched them bless the food, sanctify the food. And one day I'm sitting there, minding my own business, and God says, I want you to bless them. I want you to buy their meal. Okay. I sat there for a minute, and God impressed me even stronger. He said, Bill, I want you to buy their meal. He didn't want me just to buy their meal. He wanted me to bless them. So I gave them, I don't remember what it was, $20 or whatever, which would have bought several meals for them. But the point is I did it. They said, and when I walked up to them, I just said, you know what? My father told me to give this to you. Your father did? I said, yes, my father told me to give this to you. And I walked away. Same thing, Marie. Instant in season. If you don't think the Holy Ghost talks to you, stop and think about experiences like that in your life. If you don't think you're in right standing with God, stop and think about those experiences. First of all, you couldn't even hear God's voice if you weren't in right standing with Him, and if you weren't in the place you need to be. God didn't call you to be perfect when you came into the kingdom. He said, follow me, and I'll make you perfect. I'll make you what you need to be. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. And that's one step at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It was a victory in your life. You listened and you obeyed. Have you always made the right choices? No. I don't know anybody that has. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne. I don't care if you're Norville Hayes. I don't care. You don't make all the right choices all the time. But the point is, you're learning and you're growing. And that's what God looks at, the heart, the desire to do the right thing. Amen? There is now, therefore, no condemnation. We can say that boldly, that we're not condemned, because we know He wouldn't be using us if we weren't in the right place, because we wouldn't hear Him when He whispered in our ear to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Marie, I'm sorry if you thought I was going to tattle something negative about you. That was not my purpose at all. It blessed me, I'll tell you. Last night blessed me a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. We are not judges. And we sit and think things, if you will, under your breath, or without even saying things, we are sitting in judgment. Why does that person do that? How can they act like that? That's judgment. And we're not qualified to judge. We're qualified to look after ourselves and say, Father, what is it in me that you don't like? Or what, take to Him the things that we know we don't like, which probably means He doesn't like them, and say, Father, change those things in my life. Change my heart. We've talked about that. How many remember, when you think about it, this is very poignant, Jesus suffered false judgments and rejection. Even Jesus suffered false judgments and rejection. But you know what? He never judged in return. He never pointed a finger. Instead, when he was standing there with his arms outstretched because he loved us that much, he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." That doesn't sound like a place of judgment or condemnation to me. Amen? Hallelujah. And we've got to always remember, therefore, but for the grace of God, you and I go. We could be in that same place. Let me make a statement to you. Do you know that yours and my forgiveness became a reality at the moment of his death? That's when yours and my forgiveness became a reality. That's when the finished work took place, when Jesus died on the cross. When he took that last breath, that's when our eternal life was sealed forever. Forever. Let me tell you something else. Your comfort zone is non-productive. And I want to tell you something else. Pain is a thought. If you get uncomfortable and start to squirm when God's talking to you and stuff, it kind of brings pain because, you know, you're kind of, you know, well, you don't want to disobey God and you're not sure what the consequences are going to be. But that pain is a thought. It's a thought. What are we supposed to do with thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? Take them captive. Cast them down. Bring them into the obedience, into subjection to Christ. Amen? Amen. To the Word of God and to His ways and thoughts. Once again, Jesus never pointed out our faults and shortcomings. He pointed us in the right direction. Remember also that when you sit there and you condemn yourself, you're sitting in judgment over yourself. And what did God say? I didn't come to judge or condemn. Jesus didn't come to judge or condemn. Amen? He came to set us free, to give us life and that more abundantly. So you can't even judge yourself. You can look and see, okay, did that line up with the Word and want to change? But there's no condemnation in that. Guilt is an accusation that hits you and you take a moment to consider, or where the enemy brings up your past and throws it in your face, or something that you don't like about yourself, something that you're doing now, and guilt sets in. It's not guilt, and it's not condemnation. It's correction from God to say, let's walk this way. Let's leave that alone. One of the things I want to say to y'all tonight, too, and that I consider on myself also a lot, is there anything in my life, whether public or private, that I do or I don't do, that I would be ashamed for Jesus to see if he came to my door, if he dwelt with me? Would I be ashamed or would I be proud? Maybe not proud, but would I feel comfortable about what I was doing? Amen? The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. But the point is, if we're considering our ways, what we have to always think of is the point is, if Jesus walked in right now and sat down, knowing that he already sees and knows anyway, but if he walked in and sat down right now, what would we be doing? Would we be hanging our head, screwing around, trying to hide something which you couldn't hide from him anyway? Or would we be letting it go and saying, God, I give it to you. Laying down your life, as we read earlier. Amen? Laying down your life. It's something only you can do. I can't lay your life down for you, and you can't lay mine down for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Never pointed out our faults and shortcomings. He pointed us in the right direction. This is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you. Listen carefully. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or whether you turn to the left. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you. I've set it there. You have the right to take it or reject it. This day, life and death, blessing and cursing. But here's my recommendation. Here's what you should do. Here's what I died for. So that you could choose life that both you, listen to the promise here, and your descendants may live. Amen? That's a pretty amazing promise. You choose life, and then you have the ability to see both you and your descendants. That's a promise of God. The jailer found that out the day that the jail was shook when Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were singing and praising the Lord. He found that out. He fell down. He was going to kill himself. Paul and Silas cried out, said, don't harm yourself. We're all still here. He cried out, what do I need to do to be saved? And they told him, he said, not only that, they told him, not only you, but your entire house, your descendants. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Once again, forgiveness became a reality at the moment of his death. The new covenant, or age of grace, became a reality at his resurrection, which we're about to celebrate. And in closing, the total work was done. It was all finished when he cried out, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he died once for all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Who wants to? Anybody got anything they want to give glory to God about tonight? Now that's a good report. That's a good report. Praise God. Praise the Lord. See, folks, just as the jailer and as the word we just read, you know, our righteousness and what we do, whether we see with our physical eyes the change in a relative or loved one's or friend's or neighbor's life, co-worker, is irrelevant. We need to understand that our righteousness and our commitment to Him, if we stand in faith and we are obedient to Him, He's made provisions for those things. Didn't He say? Don't we know from the Word that it was said that never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread? We have the ability. I know I've told the story, and many of you probably have experienced this. But for those who haven't, I remember the young lady down in Pueblo when I was going to my last year of school down there, who was her grandma, 80-some years old, lived a great life, Christian all of her life, loved God, and she was now in basically more or less what they called a coma. Well, she wasn't in a coma. She was already home with the Lord. But God kept her there because of the faith and the prayer of this woman. Now, it was selfish. But you see, even in the selfishness, God answered the prayer because it was His child. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? She loved her grandma. When she heard the explanation that grandma's lived a good life, all you're doing is through selfishness holding her back from going to be with the Lord. Now, spiritually, she was already gone. There was no doubt about it. But the life was still in the body. And so when she finally said, Grandma, I'll let you go, Grandma went on to eternity, and she's up there dancing with the Lord. You know, one of the things we talked about last night, too, is the fact that we've seen in this church over the years, we've seen people that either were members here or were loved ones of members or just people that, you know, we heard somewhere that needed prayer, and we prayed for them, and the testimonies came back. God is still on the throne. He's still answering our prayers. Our thoughts and our attitudes are righteous and they're just. And God honors those things because they're in His image and likeness. They're what He feels. And we're operating in those things. Amen? So, I mean, praise God, no wonder we see things happen. We have power and authority, folks. You and I, every one of us in this room, I don't care what side of the room you're on, we all have power and authority in God. We just need to stand up and realize it. We need to start ruling and reigning. What does that mean? That means taking that authority and using it. Harry talked about something last night that was cool. We had a good discussion about it. You know, how is it that sometimes, and it has to do with callings and anointings, I can't tell you I have a full handle on it, but the point is that there are times when you can walk into a situation and God gives. See, if we understand the gifts of the Spirit, maybe sometime we'll teach on that, but there's more than just the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are spiritual gifts. And one of those nine spiritual gifts is the gift of faith, which means it's supernatural faith to intervene and pray at a time when somebody, or maybe even yourself, is not at full faith or full capacity in their faith. And you can walk into a situation and speak life into that situation, just like the young lady that went and spoke life into that gentleman who died at that bus stop that I told you about. For Robin's sake, I'll share that. There's a lady who I used to be in a church with. Harry was there too. She and her husband were the heads of the children's ministry at the same time that I was there in music ministry, and also as my ex-wife and I were the heads of the outreach ministry and missions. And I think this was before Harry and Marie came. They came just after I left. But anyway, and her desire of her heart had always been, Lord, I want to raise somebody from the dead. Always been. Now, there wasn't a selfish motivation. It was just something that, you know, sometimes desires don't just come from within. God puts His desire in our heart, and then He fulfills that desire through us. How many know that? So anyway, so here she is. Well, I mean, the whole story is great. One day she was out running around trying to get jackets and things lined up for the Little League team for her children. Running around, and she's running out of gas. She's in an area she doesn't really know. She's down to no money, no gas. And talk about faith. Ooh, mercy. So all of a sudden God says, we'll pull in that gas station. I know you can't be talking to me. God says, pull in that gas station. But she pulled in. She says, now what? Pull up to the pump. Now what? He says, fill your car. No, I'm not going to go to jail for stealing. God says, fill your car with gas. So she filled it. And once again, this is where we got on this ride. Now what? God said, look on top of the pump. And there underneath the gas cap was a $20 bill. The person had driven off, left the gas cap and the money there. God paid for her gas. Now, she goes and she's driving around, and all of a sudden God tells her, I want you to stop here, and I want you to walk across the street and stand by that bus bench. Okay. So she walks to the bus bench and stands there. There's an older gentleman and a younger gentleman there. The older gentleman's sitting there, and all of a sudden he keels over and dies right there. Y'all, most of you know this story. Anyway, what happened was he had had a bad heart. He was scheduled to go in either the next day or the day after for heart surgery. His wife had been praying for him for years for his salvation. He was a mean, nasty cuss. And God spoke to this lady. I wish I could remember her name. I can see her face, but I can't remember her name. And said, I want you to go call him back. And, of course, the young guy who's standing there, he's having a coronary. I mean, they almost had to call an ambulance on him because he's having a fit. Oh, he died. You know how people just freak out. You know? And that's what he was doing, freaking out. So she goes over and she says, in the name of Jesus, come back. And God says, are you ashamed of me? She says, no, I'm not ashamed of you. She says, then call him back. In the name of Jesus, come back. God said, are you sure you're not ashamed of me? She says, I'm not ashamed of you. Then call him back. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come back. And the man started moving. Right there at that bus stop for all to see. You think that young man was freaking out before? You should have seen him afterwards. I mean, he was freaking out. Well, she had the ability to find out who this gentleman was and go to the hospital after he'd been taken there. Met his wife, and his wife told her, she said, I've been praying for him for years. When they both were sitting there, the doctors finally came out after running a bunch of tests, and that man who had been scheduled for heart surgery within the next 24 to 48 hours, the doctors came back and said he has the heart of an 18-year-old. There is nothing wrong with his heart, and he got born again to boot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that you and I have that ability? How many honestly just, I wish I did? Come on now. God knows. You don't have to answer to me. Anyway, praise God. So God's good, amen? We have authority, and the thing is we haven't even tapped into. And a lot of it's because we're a little afraid. Do you know one of the reasons why we shrink back from things like that? Is because we're afraid it's based on us, our actions or our thoughts or our abilities. There's about that much truth in that. The only part that's about us is the obedience and obeying God and doing what God tells us to do. You're not responsible for the outcome. You're responsible for the obedience. Are you with me? People have to be delivered from themselves in respect to what I just said. You're absolutely right. There's no question what you're saying is truth. But here's the thing. Why don't we? Why are we afraid of that? Because we have a lack of faith in the fact that we think it's us that's responsible for the outcome. So we say, no. Just like the lady who went, when she was going up to get gas, God's telling me to steal. No. Remember we walk by faith and not by sight? See? But she acted on it. That's called blind faith. That's called trust. But you see, because of our failures and because of the things we have experienced in our lives, we think that those things are based on our works. Obedience is not works. Obedience is an action to a command of God in a situation. Do you understand? That's exactly right. But the outcome's not based on you or what you do, except for obeying. Do you understand? We get caught up thinking, well, God, what if it doesn't happen? Or I won't do that because, you know, I don't know if I got the faith. No. If He's speaking to you, let me ask you a question. Just close your eyes for a minute. And you stop and think about this question. Do you think for 1 minute that the enemy is going to come and tell you to lay hands on somebody so they can get healed or raise them from the dead? Now, honestly, think about that. Doesn't that sound stupid? I mean, that just sounds so stupid. It's just ridiculous. But you see, that's my point, though, Robin. It's not the devil who's telling you to raise somebody from the dead. Now, you can have, you know, thoughts that are bigger than your faith. But you know what? Even then, God's not opposed to you having thoughts like that. But you see, if our thoughts are in God, then it's not God, it's not the devil who's going to tell you to do something like, go speak to that woman, Marie, or that person, whoever it was in that doctor's office. See? We need to understand it's not based on our works or our abilities or how close we are to God. If God can use a jackass like He did with the man who fell down and received Jesus because the donkey talked to him, then let me tell you something, He can use you and me. And He wants to. In fact, we are His feet and His hands in this earth. We are the only Jesus people are going to see until they get born again. That's right. Amen. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness. In other words, it's not what you do or you don't do that causes God to move. It's His plan. Amen. The outcome is not based on you. You didn't get crucified for anybody. You don't have the ability to stand in the gap. You don't have the ability to go to hell for somebody, and you don't have the ability to save somebody or to make them go to hell and vice versa. You will never stand there and say, well, if I don't make it, it'll be your fault. And we don't have the ability to say that about you. We just have to be obedient. And you know what? How many have seen little kids? I remember when I was a little boy, when we were coming back from Africa, we flew on airplanes. My mom and dad were nervous as they could be. Man, it's like their feet were on fire. They thought I was going to offend somebody, because here I'm just a little guy, first grade, 6 years old, we're coming back over from, and we're around all these people who speak all these different dialects and different languages and stuff. And of course, I thought I was hotter than fire, because I got these little junior wings and I could run around and I helped the stewardesses and I even got to sit in a plane, you know, and I thought I was something. But they were scared spitless I was going to offend somebody. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says we'll imitate our Father. We'll do things. When we see them, we're imitators. So what does the Bible say? Be imitators of Christ. So even if you step out and you miss it, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a danger. I'll tell you right now. When God was first really getting a hold of my life and showing me really what I had done in the fourth grade at the YMCA in downtown Denver, that I'd given my life to the Lord, and I didn't even know what I'd done. I knew God was real. But I went to, there was a meeting going on as I was leaving the YMCA that day downtown. And they were talking about God, and I didn't go forward, but I prayed the prayer that they said to pray. And I didn't even realize what I'd done. That was where it began and ended. I was going to the Presbyterian Church. I was going there, and I was learning, and a good minister. I mean, I don't know if he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he was a good man, and he did preach a lot of truth. A wonderful man. I love that man. Anyway, it wasn't until I was 13, as most of you know, that God finally revealed to me what I had done, and I rededicated my life to the Lord. But in the process between the time that I had given my life to the Lord in the fourth grade and that time when I finally understood, in fact, it was after I understood what it was to be saved at the age of 13, that I went in one day in boldness, in foolishness, but boldness, and I went to pray for a young person who mom and dad were beside themselves with fear, had a medical issue, and I prayed for him. And dear God, you talk about an uproar. I mean, oh, honey, that started, that man, I'm telling you, they did everything but run me out of town on a rail. everything but tar and feather me. But I was imitating my Father. I was imitating Jesus. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I wasn't at the level of faith to even understand what I was doing. I just said, the Bible said, do it, so I'm going to do it. Do you think God held that against me? Do you think I was responsible for the outcome of that? Do you really think I was the cause of that? No. No. I know that now, but I didn't then. That was it, man. I backed off. We ain't going to do this again. No. And look where I am today. It was a stepping stone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you praise and honor for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives, for bringing revelation, for bringing comfort, exhortation, for building us up in love, exhorting us, and for correcting and directing us. Now, Lord, we seal your word. We come and seal the word by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because we have receptive hearts and open minds, Lord, we receive from you tonight. And now we go, Lord, in peace and victory and with enlightenment as to what you've done and what you've given us and what our abilities are in you. Not in us, but in you. So bless your people. Go with them tonight, Lord. We thank you for the moisture that's happening right now outside. And we just give you all praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.